Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to this special episode of the Championship Roundtable, where we'll be focusing on the latest developments at Leeds United and Barnsley. As you can tell, I am not James or Louis. I'm the returning host from last season, Jake Jackman, coming back from my role upstairs producing the podcast to host today. I'm joined by Kevin Markey, the editor of Leeds United Mad, and also by his counterpart, Rob Miles, the editor of Barnsley Mad. So just kick straight off with the news. I will start with you on this one, Kevin. So you're on the podcast on Sunday. And you seem to be a little bit down about events at Leeds, but it didn't seem to be pointed towards the sacking of Thomas Christensen. Are you supportive of the move to sack him, or did it come as a bit of a surprise to you?
Bit of both, really, Jake. Slightly surprised, because I thought the owner might have stayed with him for the last 16 games or so of the season. I think he wanted to divide himself from the previous regime of sacking managers sort of willy-nilly, and I think he didn't really want to do it, to be honest. But after the run of form we've had sort of from Boxing Day, when we've not really won a game in about six, I think he thought something had to be done with 16 games to go. So I think it was a calculated move on his part, because I think he still believes that the playoffs are reachable, but obviously not with Thomas Christensen. So I think he made a quick decision, had a quick look around to see who was available, and obviously went to get his man straight away, more or less.
Yeah, just looking at the table, Leeds are currently in 10th, 7 points off the playoffs, and in the sixth position there is Bristol City. They've been on a bit of a bad run since the Capital One Cup semi-finals. You can sort of see what's been going on there. You know, the playoffs are still achievable in the mind of the owner, and sort of understand from that point of view. When a decision was made, some of the names linked to Steve McLaren was a notable one. did you have any thoughts on who you wanted to get in, and are you quite pleased with the appointment of Heckingbottom?
I think Steve McLaren does get he gets linked with every club available when the job becomes available. So, and he was at the game on Saturday as well, so people were putting two and two together. But apparently he was a guest of one of the coaches, and he was just watching the game like he does, because he does live quite locally anyway. But yeah, there weren't many names on the list that really sort of took my fancy. Really, we had Gordon Strachan, who always said — he's a Leeds legend, by the way, is Gordon — he always says he'd never come back in any capacity, because he doesn't want to tarnish the reputation he made whilst he was a player. So you can understand that with Gordon. I don't think he'd ever want to come back and be a failure, and then everybody just remembers him as being a failure. So I don't think he'd ever consider coming back to Leeds in any capacity. There was Simon Grayson, obviously, again, another former manager who left under a cloud as well when Ken Bates was the owner. They reckon he should be given another chance, but I think he's tarnished his image a little bit by leaving Preston for Sunderland. And I think, you know, I don't think Leeds considered him really to come back. And then there was Paul Clement. Marco Silva was mentioned, but I don't think he'd drop down to the Championship. I don't think they were ever interested in speaking to him anyway. And then there was a guy called Hans Wolf, who he's only 36, and he'd just been sacked by Stuttgart. And I think he was too similar, really, to the Thomas Christian model, and I don't think they wanted to go there again. So that left obviously Paul Heckingbottom, who'd obviously just signed a new rolling contract with Barnsley, but they did have a release clause in the contract, interestingly enough, which makes you wonder why they actually agreed to that. But obviously Andre Raziani must have knew about it and paid what was required to speak to Heckingbottom for the job, and he seemed to get the man that he wanted, basically.
Yeah, just reading the report now, it says the release clause was 500,000, which doesn't seem a great deal in this market, especially for a manager. And I always think that managers are undervalued, and a good one is worth their weight in gold. So it's going to be interesting to see how he does there. Just bouncing over to you, Rob. There's a Barnsley statement saying they were shocked at the exit of Heckenbottom after he just signed a new contract. Especially just come after a week. Like, is that a sort of a common view in the Barnsley supporters?
It's been a very mixed reaction, really. I think neutral fans have a better opinion of Heckenbottom than what we do. It's, you know, we've won one of his last 16 games. I think there's a few people thinking he might be sort of heading for the chop if results didn't improve, especially with the new owners in. You know, they might want their own man. I think the fact that the current Barnsley manager has left the club isn't sort of like the issue with those supporters. It's the fact that Barnsley-born Paul Heckenbottom, who prior to the last Barnsley-Leeds meeting claimed that he hated Leeds because he was from Barnsley, and he signed a new contract 4 days ago, would then suddenly walk out to join Leeds as manager. I think that's sort of what's hit the Barnsley supporters. It was only a few weeks ago he was saying about his new contract, when it was in the pipeline there's going to be offered one, that, you know, this wasn't just a club for him, this was his life, you know, it wasn't just a job that he had, he loved the club. So it's almost like, you know, it's a bit disbelief, really. But at the same time, I think there's a bit of disbelief as to why Leeds want him with the run that we're on. We don't like scoring, we're dropping down the league like a stone. So I think it was a bit shocked, but I also think he's been looking for a way out for a while. I think every championship vacancy that's come up so far this season, Heckenbottom's been one of the sort of favourites for with the bookies, and he's been asked about it in press conferences, and he's sort of like not denied that he'd go there. I think this just reaffirms the view that, you know, I think he's probably been looking for a way out, and the fact we've got Sheffield Wednesday on Saturday. Had we lost that with him in charge, would he have been pushed? You know, would he have been sacked? So, you know, I think he might have jumped before he'd been pushed. It's just, I think, just the fact that, you know, Barnsley-born Paul Heckenbottom has walked out of the club is what has annoyed most supporters today.
The one view I have of Barnsley, having followed the Championship really very close to last season, was the way you sort of rose. You got promotion. You rose from quite a low position in League One, if I remember correctly, after the sacking of Lee Johnson went to Bristol City, won the Johnston's Paint Trophy, and then carried that momentum into the Championship. Had a really, really good start. But then in the January window, you sold a lot of your best players: Sam Winnall, Conor Hourihan, just two of those. Do you think maybe there's an argument that he has done a really good job this season, just stabilising you, even though you are close to the relegation zone, you're not in it currently? Do you think that's still quite a good job, considering he has lost quite a lot of the team that maybe he made his name with?
I mean, it's no lie that it's been a tough job for him. I mean, and he's been very outspoken in the fact that we had to sell players last January. He's been quite vocal in that we've sold players and he didn't want them selling. He's been very, very vocal in the January window. Throughout it, saying that he wanted players in before a certain point and they've not come in. And to be honest, I think the players he signed in the summer, he sort of hinted he didn't really want them. That's all we could afford. So, I mean, it's been no doubt that it's been tough for us, for him. And, I mean, the start of every season, our goal is to stay up. So if we finish in the position we're in now come May, we'll probably be happy because, I mean, some of the clubs in this league, it's quite staggering. But I just think a lot of his decisions in the last few weeks have been quite baffling. We've had, you know, wingers playing in the centre midfield, centre midfielders played on the wing, full-backs in central defence, central defenders at full-back. A lot of people have been quite like baffled. Substitutions as well. Honestly, I think Leeds fans might say this, he doesn't seem to make a change before about the 68th minute, even though it's crying out obvious that we need change. So I think the fans really do appreciate the job he's done. I know a lot of people say how, you know, he won the Johnston's Paint Trophy, we got promoted, but we were already in the Johnston's Paint final when he got appointed. We'd won six in a row in the league prior to him taking over. It's actually 2 years today since he took over. It was the 6th of February when Lee Johnson left us in 2016, so it's another quite quirky thing he's left us on the same day he was appointed. But it's almost like this season has been sort of his first real test as a manager, because he had everything in place before, you know, when he took over, and I think he struggled, and now he's going to a club like Leeds who expect to be in the top six. They want to be in the top six. I hope he does well. I really do, but I'm surprised they've picked a guy like him, because I'm not sure he's going to take Leeds to where they want to go. And it just had a bit sour grapes, but like I say, not many fans are so gutted that he's actually left today.
Yeah, you touched on it there. Do you think Paul Heckenbottom is ready for a job like Leeds, which is obviously, all things considered, is a step up from Barnsley. Do you think that he's ready for that? And it'll be interesting to get Kevin's thought on that as a Leeds fan as well. Do you think he's the type of manager you'd like to see, that, you know, you're happy to come in to replace Christensen?
Personally, yeah, I'm happy with the appointment, because even though Barnsley have struggled this season, everybody knows why they're struggling, because obviously they lost so many good players last season. It's always difficult to get the right people back in. So whereas Barnsley have dipped a little bit, Heckenbottom hasn't dipped. You know, he's still a rising star as a coach goes, really, because he's done an amazing job, just like Clough at Burton, really. I'm not comparing Barnsley with Burton, obviously, but Barnsley are a stronger team, a stronger outfit. But like Clough, he's done something that he's not expected to do by keeping them, you know, afloat with the players that he's got at his disposal. Look at reading between the lines. He seemed to be critical of the way he had to do a lot of the jobs at Barnsley. And he didn't really have time to go out on the training pitch to get his ideas across, because he was doing so much paperwork and so many other things behind the scenes that somebody else perhaps should have been doing. Which is why I think he was attracted to the Leeds job in a way, because he was more or less being told, all you've got to do is go out on that training pitch and look after the players. We'll do everything else, recruitment, wages for the players and everything else that goes with it. We'll sort all that out. You just concentrate on picking the team for Saturday. And I think he seemed quite relieved that that's even though he's gone to Leeds, that's going to be his main focus, just concentrating on the playing side. Well, he seems to have a lot of jobs at Barnsley behind the scenes, and I think he's been screaming out for somebody to come in to facilitate all the recruitment. And Barnsley obviously haven't done that as yet. So in a way, whereas, like you said, Barnsley maybe have not had a good a season as they did last year. I mean, when they beat us at Oakwell last season, 3-2, and it could have been a lot more, they were eighth in the league and looking really good. And then they lost all these strong players in the January window and sort of dipped to around 14th, I think they finished last season, which is a respectable position. But they were challenging for the playoff spots last January. But he's lost so many decent players and they haven't really replaced them with like for like, that the team has struggled this season. But well, whereas the team has struggled, I don't think Heckenbottom's star has waned at all. I think Leeds have looked at his record and thought, yeah, you are doing a great job there. And also, whilst he's been working at Barnsley, I believe he's been taking a degree at Leeds University as well. So he sounds a very intelligent lad. And I think he'll going forward, he's the right sort of person that Leeds need now going into the last 16 games of the season, even though the next few games are very tough.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, Rob, do you think that's a fair fair view to have as an outsider looking in at Barnsley? And do you think that maybe you are a little bit overly critical of Heckenbottom and his ability to maybe manage at a bigger club because he's leaving to a rival?
I mean, it's right like Kevin says, he's done a lot of the behind the scenes job. We didn't have a chief executive for him after Ben Manford left us to go to come up the road again.
Sorry, Rob. We'll keep doing it.
I mean, I've probably been a bit overcritical. It's just something like say some of the decisions he's made this season a bit baffling. And I think, like I say, I think the thing that's sort of annoyed a lot of people is why sign a new contract on Friday? I mean, obviously, it wasn't to know that Leeds were going to sack the manager by the end of the weekend. But I've been reading on Twitter today, like other fans' views, and no one's really shedding a tear. You know, that it was almost as if maybe it was time for a change. He's been here 2 years. 2016 was fantastic. Start of 2017 was all right up until after we beat Leeds and we saw a lot of players, and it's just been a grind since. And I think with the new owners coming in as well, I think a few people are thinking, well, what are they going to do? Can they bring someone in a bit higher calibre? Honestly, just the feeling today is people only sort of gutted because Barnsley-born Paul Heckenbottom has gone to Leeds. It's not the fact that we're changing manager. It's quite bizarre, really, but I think people have just got so fed up. The last few games to watch have been awful to watch. If we do score, we only score once. And like I say, some of his decisions, full-backs playing at centre-back and vice versa, there's not a great deal of upsetness that he's gone today.
As always with managerial changes, it always comes down to what happens next. And, you know, you might look back at Heckenbottom, what he's done this season has been great. If the next manager comes in and tanks, you know, that happens sometimes. Or the next manager could come in and do so well and it would sort of show Heckenbottom in maybe a bad light and show that maybe he wasn't ready for a bigger job and that his reputation was maybe not deserved. So just moving on to Barnsley, where you go next here, Rob. I'm just looking at the betting odds, which is always fun when a manager does leave. Danny Cowley is currently the favourite, the Lincoln City manager, who obviously made his name last year in the FA Cup, got Lincoln promoted, and they're doing very well in League Two at the moment, challenging for promotion again. Simon Grace and Gary Monk, two names Kevin will be will know well, and yeah. at the top of the betting odds. Paul Hurst, the Shrewsbury manager, they're doing very well in League One. I spoke to their captain last week, Abu Ogogo, and he said that he thought that Paul Hurst was going on to better things and that he could go to the very top of the game. So it'd be interesting if that one came to fruition, because he seems to be a very highly rated manager. And you've also got Jurgen Klinsmann and Martin Jol around, which is just funny. I don't think either of those two will be coming in, but it's always fun to see his name linked. So for you, Rob, out of those names, is there anybody that stands out that you'd like to see at Barnsley?
I think this sort of managerial appointment is a bit odd. I think if we had the old owners, you know, the late Patrick Crime was still here, I think something like Paul Hurst, Danny Cowley would probably go for, because that's what we've done before. We recruited Mark Robbins from Rotherham when they were in League One at the time. So I think those sort of names, I'd be thinking, yeah, I can see us going for them. These new owners, it's sort of like a stab in the dark, really. I'm glad Kevin told me who Hans Wolf was earlier, because I saw his name in the game. Yeah. I had no idea who he was, so I'm pleased I now know where he's from. I'd be happy with something like a Crowley or a Paul Hurst, you know. But again, are they the same as Heckenbottom?
Yeah.
Because you had successful playing careers coming to my
Paul Hurst comes in as well, Rob, the benefits of that is you won't have to change the initials on the training jackets.
Exactly, that's saving some money.
That'll save a few quid for Barnes. Yeah, that.
Well, there's Paul Harsey as well, isn't he? He's the caretaker. So.
It's ideal. It's interesting as well, because obviously, as well as Heckenbottom, he's taken Jeremy Clapham, his assistant, the head of sports science, Nathan Wilder, and the performance analyst, Alex Bailey. So it's a serious recruitment, this, by the owner of Leeds. He's, you know, he's letting him have his say on what backroom staff he wants as well. So I think it's a long-term appointment. I don't think it's just for the remainder of the season. Obviously, if he lose all 16 games, he'll review it. But I'm sure he's thinking long-term with this appointment. And I think he's happy that he's got the man he wants. And it's interesting to see that there was a clause in the contract. I know it's taken a while to sign that contract, but it makes you wonder, really, if Barnsley knew something was in the air, something was going to be happening in February, and they wanted to make sure that they didn't lose money out of it. So they made a few quid out of that as well, which is very clever, but on who devised the contract in the first place, I think, really.
It's funny, I mean, I don't know if you believe anything Heckingbottom says now, but when he spoke about his contract on Friday, he said it had been signed a good few weeks ago. They were only just announcing it on Friday across the transfer window. Right. I don't know how long prior it had been signed, but apparently it had been signed, sealed for quite some time. But, I mean, we're very good at putting low clauses in players' and managers' contracts. We usually sell best players for 500,000, so the 400,000 Heckingbottom, I'm not surprised.
But another thing, Rob, they did allow him to speak to Forrest, I believe, as well. Did he have an interview with Forrest?
I believe so. I think he might have spoken to Sunderland as well. I think
Karanka came in.
Yeah.
Being interviewed, I'm sure. So I think they were allowing him to speak to clubs. So it's not as if they were saying, you've signed your contract, you can't go anywhere. I know Sunderland did make noises, but I don't think, like anybody really, it's only Grayson really and Coleman that I fancied doing that job. I think Heckingbottom did well to keep away from that one. But I think Forrest was, I think he was attracted to that, but I think they went for Karanka, who's obviously got a team promoted from the Championship before, so I think they went for a bit more experience. But it's interesting to see that they did allow him to speak to Forrest, and obviously they didn't really stand in his way when Leeds sort of came as well with the clause in effect as well.
Which again makes me think that behind the scenes, possibly wasn't as rosy as what they're making out. I mean, like I said, it's as if every job that's sort of become available, Heckingbottom's been like, yeah, I'll talk to them. So I think maybe he thought he took us as far as he could, you know, not just the other way around. We're all saying, well, think he's taken it. Maybe he did.
Yeah, just to finish off the podcast today, I just want to get both your thoughts and what you think the rest of the season is going to bring. I'll start with you, Rob, so we can finish on Leeds. Barnsley's upcoming fixtures make it look like it's not the best time to have a managerial change because some huge ones come up. Got out of form Sheffield Wednesday, followed by Burton Albion, Birmingham, Hull City. They are four huge games if you're going to stay up. So do you think maybe the change hasn't come at the best time? And what do you think the rest of the season holds for Barnsley? Maybe the managerial change is the freeing thing that you need to push on to safety.
I think that's what we've got to hope. Hopefully, you know, sometimes you do get a little bit of a bump, don't you, when you get a new manager. One thing Heckingbottom said at the weekend that I do agree with, he said after the QPR defeat that these next 2 months will define our season, and I truly believe they will. We've got games now against teams around us. We need to win them. This Saturday is obviously, we want to win that because it's Sheffield Wednesday. It's always a big boost. And I think if we can get 3 points against them, I think that would sort of build a bit of momentum up, get the fans back on side, because the fans, like I say, with the run we're on, are very despondent at the minute. If you ask me now, what would I be happy with? I'd say staying up. If we finished where we are now, I'd be happy. A few weeks ago, I thought there was at least three teams worse than us in the division. I'm not sure there is now, possibly two, Sunderland, Burton. I can see Hull getting out of it. So it's a massive 2 months for us coming up now. Big games against teams around us. We need to get some wins. And like I say, I'd be happy just to stay up. Anywhere above that dotted line, I will be pleased with, especially with everything that's gone on this season.
Yeah, and Kevin, as we mentioned earlier, 7 points off the playoffs, which seems to be the aim. Looking at your next six fixtures, similar story to Barnes, it seems like the next couple of months could define your season. You've got Sheffield United on at the weekend, an easy one for Paul Heckingbottom to kick off with, I'm sure. Then you've got Bristol City at home the following weekend, which looks like a must win if you're going to get that playoff spot, followed by Derby County, Brentford, Middlesbrough and Wolves. They're six huge games. And looking at your recent form, I'm struggling to see where you're going to get that many points out of it. So you are more confident than I am.
Well, I am, yeah, so under Christiansen, yeah, it did look a tough prospect, but with the new manager in, so obviously the team sort of lifts itself, I think, when somebody new comes in. I'm sure they won't be going out with the same sort of motivation they've had in the last few weeks. I'm sure Heckingbottom will look at the situation and get them lifted, especially for massive games, like you say, that are coming up, and it will define our season. But it, you know, if it comes in like another Yorkshireman that we snared from Sheffield Wednesday 30 years ago, Howard Wilkinson, he was the last Yorkshireman that came to Elland Road, came from another club. If he follows suit, then I'll be quite happy with that and takes us, you know, to the dreamland that maybe not this season, but hopefully next season. But as long as we finish the season on a high with the next 16 games, I think most Leeds fans will be quite optimistic for the future.
And with that, we are now out of time. I just want to thank both Kevin and Rob for joining me today and to all of you for listening. We hope you join us again soon.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.